This is the last of the series of the topics about personalities from Ramayana. But a very celebrated person is, for this evening, Bharata. Bharata. Who is Bharata? Yeah?
He's one of the brothers of Ram.
Yeah. Okay. What else can you say about, and what can anyone say about Bharata, not just our children? Bharata. Bharata.
He's the second oldest brother.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Who was he the son of? Kaikeyi. 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 We heard the other day about the Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. Remember that one? And we heard that Ram manifested as Vasudev, Lakshman manifested as Sankarshan. That just leaves two, Pradumna and Aniruddha. Does anybody remember who is who, Pradumna, Lakshmana, or Bharata? Excuse me, Bharata or Shatrughna? Yeah, Pradumna is Bharata. So, there's another nice understanding, just before we go into the pastimes. There's nine forms of bhakti. One of those forms of bhakti is pada sevanam. And guess who carrying the wooden shoes of Ram was exemplifying Padasevanam. You guessed it. Bharata. So according to Kshatriya codes, of course I've read different things. The name-giving ceremony for Krishna was performed 6 days. Is that right? No. That's wrong. That's wrong. The 11th day after the four brothers were born the same day, within hours, by different mothers. So on the 11th day after their birth, the name-giving ceremony was performed, and Vasishtha performed the name-giving ceremony, and he named Bharata Bharata, and the meaning of Bharata is the maintainer. He carried a lot of weight. That's one of the esoteric meanings of his name. The weight of the kingdom, or the burden of the kingdom, in very difficult circumstances, rested upon Bharat. Of course, it was the manipulation of Kaikeyi that brought that about. It wasn't his plan, but he had to bear the burden of the kingdom during those difficult 14 years. So he then served Ram fully in separation. So that's another feature, service and separation. And he was feeling himself fully dependent, as Lakshman was, fully dependent upon Ram to carry out his service. He was simply carrying Ram's order that sustained his life. And another detail about Bharata is he was the object of loyalty and brotherhood and affection of Shatrughna, like Lakshman was towards Ram. That's an important part of that. The four brothers. So now we'll go into the Leela, and there are, Bharata plays this, a very important role in turning points, at least two significant functions and two turning points. The whole of the first kanda, Balakanda, ends with the scene of Sita and Ram happily in Ayodhya, where they remained for 12 years. And as far as I could gather, the chronology is, there's one Ramayana that says when Sita is speaking to Ravana, when Ravana comes to Panchavati and wants to know who she is, daughter of King Janak, wife of King Ram, I was married when I was 9. Then, so 9 plus 12, she didn't leave for the forest till she was 21. 14 years in exile, but with a Panchavati scene, she was kidnapped after nearly 12 years plus. So add 12 to 21, that's how old she was when the kidnapping took place, and then returning to Ayodhya. So Balakanda ends in that scene in Ayodhya. They're happily married and living in royal life. And the next kanda, the Aranya Kanda section, begins with Bharata deciding to go visit his wife's father. So when he goes, his dear beloved brother, his mother's father. Mother's father is his uncle, right? I always get these things mixed up. Mother's father, okay, uncle. So that's where he went, and Shatrughna went with him. And so they're absent from the kingdom. And then there's not a lot said about that visit until Dhatharas starts to get a little anxious about signs and his age. And he says something that's a little contradictory. He speaks about his full trust in Bharata. And then the next breath he says, but who can say the mind is very fickle? So he considers wrongly, and it prompts mistrust from Mantra and then in turn Kaikeyi. It's planned while he's away. Bharata and Shatrughna are away. So that's one shift. He goes to visit his mother's father. The second twist happens. It's very interesting. Mother's father. Grandfather. Maternal. Okay, grandfather. Grandpa. Okay. Yeah. Right. 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 So we're going to come to the mistrust thing a little bit, Dasaras, because he plays a function. He made a promise when Kaikeyi was given to him in marriage that her son would become the next king. And people hadn't remembered it, whether Kaikeyi remembered it or not, he didn't know, but he didn't want to risk any chances. So that's one of the reasons. What's one of the troubles? The, you know, you give your word and you don't keep your word, you got some problems. So, next major shift happens when Ram, Lakshman, and Sita are together in Panchavati, and Lakshman speaks to Ram about Bharata. And how all of them, Bharata included, was brought up with much affection and comfort by Dasarath, and how Bharata exhibited to Ram lots of brotherly care. And now, here they are in the forest, and Bharata is also leading an ascetic life, taking bath in the cold waters of the Sarayu River, sleeping on the bare earth like them, foregoing palatable foods, eating forest fare. Bharata had taken a vow that he would enter into fire if Ram didn't return after the 14th year concluded. So the indication is that Lakshman is, intentionally or otherwise, he's hinting at, Ram, hurry up and kill the demons, because that's got to happen before we return back. And Ram answers, even though I have made up my mind to dwell in the forest and keep my vow, my love for Bharata makes me waver like a child. And that's the signal for the change of scene. Now, there's another signal for the change of scene, and that is Sherpanaka gets this idea to come after Ram, and then go after Lakshman, then go after Sita. But at least, you know, the commentators say, Bharata has a very special role to play in this change of the whole leela or drama of Ramayana. Lakshman's prodding and Ram's feeling of separation from Bharata and his desire to see him again moved the pastime forward. Sita getting kidnapped, destruction of Ravana, and then returning. There's another section here about the affection between Bharata and Shatrughna. I'll just read it, it's nice. When Bharata departed for his maternal uncle's home, maternal uncle. Yeah. So it's not grandfather, his uncle. Uncle from his mother's side. Okay. Out of love, he also took Shatrughna with him. Here, as per the verse in Ramayana, the word gacchata, gacchata, indicates that Shatrughna departed at the same time that Bharata departed. And another word in Valmiki Ramayana is nittaha, that is, the relationship between Bharata and Shatrughna was, he was like an object. It's not like Shatrughna said, can I go with you? And said, sure, come along. It's just their relationship was such that they were just attached to one another in that way, not exactly taking it for granted like you take an object for granted, but that was Shatrughna's mood. He was just a mood. He was just fixed, not feeling at all independent. If Bharata went going, I'm going. Like Lakshman to Ram. You're going, I'm going. And so he went out of love, not out of some obligation, that you're the older brother, I'm the younger brother, so I have to be obedient by that principle. And this is specifically expressed in Valmiki Ramayana. After glorifying Shatrughna's ultimate dependence on Bharata, then immediately in the next verse, Valmiki Rishi glorifies Bharata's love for Shatrughna. Though Bharata was greatly honored by his maternal uncle, Yudhajit, in his house, and cherished with affection like his own, just sit still. I'm just frustrated. Pardon my frustration. Because if I had a printout, I wouldn't be having this problem. Yudhajit was actually more affectionate towards Shatrughna than his own nephew, Bharata. Doesn't say why, just that was his mood. Although they resided in Yudhajit's palace, both brothers were always mindful of their relationship with Ram and were in constant remembrance of Ram. They were very Ram conscious. Out of love. Now here comes that Dasarath requested Ram to come after meditating on things, you know, the coronation and so forth. He wanted to do it immediately and specifically when Bharata was away from the city. That was a mistake. On the one hand, Dasarath expressed confidence in Bharata, in his saintly character. He always follows the orders of his elders. His mind is fixed on Dharma. He has his senses under control. And then speaks, on the other hand, that the mind of man is unsteady, which sounds contradictory. He has all confidence in him. But, so here comes this part. He promised the king of Kaikeya, while marrying Kaikeyi, that a son born of her will be the next king. So Dasarath has some apprehension or fear that either the king of Kaikeya or his own mind, Dasarath's mind, which is fixed in Dharma, that is, keep his promise, something might change. And then that might mean that Ram might not become the king, so he wants to hurry up and quickly make this arrangement. So that's a function that Bharata plays in part of the drama. And then another function that Bharata plays, one of the meanings of his name, he maintains or he bears the burden. He bared the burden of mistrust. Unfairly, he didn't do anything. It was his mother and Mantra, but he bore the burden multiple times. Okay. The first was in relation to his mother. So messengers were sent. didn't tell why. He wanted to know why. You got to come back real early. The king wants to see you right now. And the ministers want to see you right now. What happened? What happened? Come quickly. So he's filled with apprehension. And then when Kaikeyi described the two boons, Bharata was very, very angry, not just displeased, very, very angry with his mother. He blocked his ears with his hands, and in great pain he expressed the greatest misfortune that had befallen on him in being deprived of his father and his father-like brother. He chastised her severely for her sin and the destruction she had brought in sending the faultless Ram to the forest along with Lakshman and Sita to the extent of even disowning her. You're no longer my mother. But he didn't. Because what checked him was knowing that Ram would never sanction that. That Ram himself had utmost love and respect for Kaikeyi, and that he would never disown her, and so Bharata couldn't. This particular mood happens later. Close the door. This particular mood happens later after, we heard this already, but after the funeral rites for Dasarath, Bharata and Shatrughna are walking and they're discussing their misfortune, and Shatrughna comments in anger about Mantra, and then they happen to see Mantra and she's all decked out in nice clothes and nice ornaments and woo woo woo, and doorkeeper, a guard, sees her and he grabs her and brings her before Shatrughna, who declares loudly in front of everybody, "Now see how this wicked woman will be punished by me." So he doesn't say what he's going to do, but they have an idea what he's going to do. And Bharata steps in and says the same thing. Ram would never sanction punishing her. She is foolish. She's the cause of everything. But Ram would never sanction, so he can't harm her. And he said, if Ram would approve it, I would have killed my mother. But Ram would never approve it, so I couldn't do it. They're controlled by not their passions. They have passions, but they're controlled by their love for one who's the upholder of virtue. It's a very powerful force in spiritual life. You know, the mind and the senses can at times go this way, that way. But, the control of higher principle resting upon a person who one has affection for, who is the emblem of higher virtue, it can check one's lower nature. And that's a function that Bharata played. Lakshman later points out this nature of Bharata by saying, this is Lakshman speaking, "Bharata has a blue complexion, a pair of eyes like lotus petals, a thin waist and long arms. He is self-restrained, soft-spoken, sweet-tempered, and truthful. He knows his duty and maintains a low profile, a subduer of enemies. He is heroic and great. Such Bharata has given up the diverse pleasures of life and has surrendered himself to you with all his soul. Bharata, though staying in the kingdom, is observing asceticism, following the path of Ram. In grief, Bharata might have died, like King Dasarath, and ascended to heavens. But Bharata's going to heavens is a hindrance of getting a glimpse of Ram after return from exile. So Bharata's refusing the heavens is said to be his conquering heavens. The saying that men follow a mother's path is but the path of the father, the saying that men follow a mother's path but not the path of the father has been disproved by Bharata. So there's Bharata's mood towards hearing this news from Kaikeyi, and then immediately, the next thing, after much distress and berating himself and his mother, he goes to see Kaushalya. And when he comes before Kaushalya, he doesn't even get to speak. She spoke to him first, and she spoke very harshly, in different ways, speaking as if he is the cause of all this and he has evil intentions, just like his mother. Bharata, hearing all of this, became extremely distressed and then pronounces in front of Kaushalya a whole string of curses on himself for having been born as the son of Kaikeyi and so forth and so on, because of whom Ram has gone to the forest, thus depriving Kaushalya of her son, in pitiable tones. So Kaushalya's hurt is immediately dissipated, and understanding his pure heart, she took him on her lap, Mother Kaushalya, and consoled him, comparing his love for Ram and herself to that of Lakshman's love for Ram and herself. So after speaking to Kaushalya, the funeral hasn't been performed yet. No, the funeral has been performed, and then comes Vashishta along with the ministers approaching Bharata, insisting that he take the rule of the kingdom. And just hearing this, Bharata was terribly pained, and he said, how can I, being born from King Dasarath, usurp the kingdom when the kingdom and I belong to Ram? Bharata was indicating that both he and the kingdom were subservient, dependent objects. So how can one dependent object protect another? Vashishta went on, Vashishta, you may say that just like a jewel box or casket is used to protect a jewel, both are subservient dependent objects, and yet one protects the other, the box and the jewel. Bharata countered that by saying no, this doesn't make sense. The owner is the one who protects the jewel using a casket and a key. However, in his case, the owner, that's Ram, has not empowered him to protect the kingdom. So how is it possible for him to protect the kingdom in Ram's absence? So the best course of action is to bring Ram back. This was just applied to me before I got here, so I'm going to have to go over this more carefully. So he's determined to go seek appeal to Ram to return. And everyone's really happy. If I fail to bring Ram back from the forest, I will stay myself, as Lakshman is doing. Then Bharata issued an order, Sumantra, prepare a journey to go find Ram in the forest. And we'll take her whole army and make roads and the whole thing. And off they go. Everyone's really happy. So when he gets to the forest, he gets another suspicion of evil intention from who? Who's the next one? Guha. So we went to this place. Were you there? Who was there? The place where they crossed the river. Remember that place? You know, the Brahmin that performed the yajna for Dasarath to have his son. So his name was Risha Shringa. So Risha means deer because he had horns on his head like a deer. So Shringa Virapura. Shringa Virapura. That's the place where Guha kept his headquarters. In the forest. So they travel to that place. And when Guha saw a whole army, he then also became suspicious. Here we are. So he asked him, directly, are you going with this army to go harm Ram? And he started crying. When Guha then became convinced by his mood, he explained so many things, then Guha assisted. And helped him cross the Ganges. Guha questioned the motive of Bharata and his reason for traveling with a huge army. Bharata was extremely anguished and informed Guha, may that time never come to pass. Ram is none different from my father Dasarath, and I am here to find Ram and bring him back to Ayodhya. He's getting insulted for good intentions or misunderstood good intentions. That happens in life. And Bharata had to bear it. He explained himself, and because of his genuineness and purity and so forth, Guha became satisfied. So getting on the other side of the river, they made a whatever you call it, a little camp for the night. And then Bharata started asking, tell me what happened. Remember, narrate all the details. And he was narrating all the details. Again, Bharata was in great anguish. He was already feeling great separation. Lots of sorrow for all that had happened. It says here, um, hearing from Guha that Ram and Sita had slept on the ground on a bed made of kushu grass, fasted by drinking only water, and their hairs were matted and dressed in cloth made of tree bark, Bharata fell down on the ground like an elephant wounded, while Shatrughna embraced Bharata tightly and lamented loudly. When the great illustrious Bharata wept, Kaushalya was there, and Kaushalya was also hearing all this, and she was also weeping, and he was trying to console Kaushalya while he was weeping, and Shatrughna consoling him. What a scene. Bharata then condemned himself, because of whom Ram had to endure such a forest life with his wife, like an orphan instead of an emperor, honored by everyone. And he was praising the highly fortunate Lakshmana, who was able to follow Ram during a period of crisis. So then he took a vow that Shatrughna then also took. From here on, I'm going to live the same austere lifestyle as Ram until his return. So after they get assistance from Guha, the next person they encounter is Bharadraj Muni. On receiving the guests, Vasishtha and Bharata, appropriately, Bharadraj, out of affection for Ram, inquired from Bharata, why has Ram come here instead of ruling the kingdom? And has Bharata come to cause some further harm to Ram and Lakshman? He said this to Vasishtha within earshot of Bharata, and Bharata heard. Just hearing Bharadraj Rishi speak like this, he burst into tears. First it's his mother, thinking he had the kind of nature that he would accept the kingdom in this way. And then it came from Kaushalya, naturally because of her affection towards Ram. She misunderstood Bharata's intention. Guha had this fantastic friendship with Ram even before he got to the forest. And maybe a forest dweller can be a little unsophisticated. But here's Bharadraj Rishi, an all-knowing personality, doubting his intentions. And when he burst out in tears and he couldn't even speak, Bharadraj immediately consoled him and said, I presented this question to you just to show the world that your pure loving devotion is spotless. So somehow that managed to get Bharata a little calmed down. And then comes the next mistrust coming from Lakshmana. They're up on the hill of Chitrakoot, seeing off in the distance this huge army coming. Lakshman, go see who that is. And I see on the flag, how he could see what's on the flag, I don't know. But I can see the flag. It's the flag of the palm flag of Dasarath. That's the royal. No, that's Bharata. He's come to harm Ram. I'm going to finish him. Look out. Here I come. All these chivalrous words. Mistrust. He got very angry, suspecting Bharata had come with evil intentions, and he wanted to kill them all. But Ram chastised him, glorifying Bharata's devotion, asking Lakshman, has Bharata ever done anything displeasing to you in the past? If you speak these words for the sake of the kingdom, I will tell Bharata to give the kingdom to you. And it will certainly agree to whatever I say. Lakshman was embarrassed. Then coming up the hill, Chitrakoot, Bharata, the others also, but Bharata specifically, when he sees Ram dressed as an ascetic, his hair matted, he cried out very loudly and fell to the ground fainting. After gathering himself, he slowly lifted himself. Great hero, soldier. We heard how Lakshman glorified, even-tempered, soft-spoken, tears, overwhelmed with distress, seeing Ram in this way. Ram turned and smiled at Bharata, who, along with Shatrughna, was rushing toward him. Stumbling even as he ran over level ground, Bharata swiftly approached Ram, fell before him at his feet. In a choked voice, he began to lament. Alas, here is my elder brother, who deserves to sit in a royal assembly, seated now in the company of deer. What a cruel destiny. Here is that exalted soul who should wear garments worthy many thousands. Language is terrible here. Wearing the bark of trees. All this is on my account. Fie upon me, condemned by all the world. Bharata fell crying on the ground, unable to touch Ram's feet. Seeing Ram, Bharata cried out again, O noble one, and said no more because of his anguish. Weeping, Shatrughna also bowed down before the feet of Ram. So you know there's this back and forth, really interesting, intriguing dialogue, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Not so much with Bharata, with everybody else saying what they had to say. Ram saying what he had to say. Appealing. Ram standing firm. Upholding the word of my father. There's no better thing for me, no happier thing, more meaningful thing. Bharata tried the front door, the back door, and the chimney, and nothing worked. My Lord, how does the power to rule our vast kingdom exist in me? I am young and inexperienced, nor am I possessed of any great ability. Surely the kingdom will meet with ruin under my incapable guidance. Because previously he said, how can I rule without the order of Ram? Now he's going to give the order. Stroking his head, he said, your humility is your real qualification. By virtue of this wisdom, you can protect the entire earth. Always seek counsel of learned Brahmins and rule with confidence. Then, you know, the celebrated closure of this. Bharata brought before Ram a pair of ornate wooden sandals embellished with gold. He put them on the ground and said, please place your feet on these sandals, dear Ram. Let these shoes be the rulers of the kingdom, and I shall remain as their servant. These shoes will definitely supply the needs and maintain the assets of all the people. Ram immediately put his feet into the shoes, and then Bharata placed his sandals on his head. For the coming 14 years, I shall live in a hut outside Ayodhya. I shall survive on only fruits and roots, and my hair shall be matted like yours. If at the end of this time I do not see you return, O Ram, I shall then enter blazing fire. So when the battle in Lanka was over, Ram had to hurry up and get back because the evening of the 14th year was closing in, and he knew that Bharata meant what he said. He would enter into fire, and that would be terrible. So Pushpaka Vimana, let's go, and zoom, off they went, back to Ayodhya. Along with all the Vanaras, and it was a nice party. Diwali. There's many nice things. That when the Pushpaka Vimana descends, Ram sent Hanuman the head to see what's Bharata's mood. Maybe in 14 years his mood has changed. Maybe he's attached to being the king. And Hanuman could understand right away, and so then Ram proceeded. Really glorious, epic. It's nice. It's a nice meditation in addition to the pastime. It's a nice meditation of introducing this to people that really don't know much of anything about Ramayana, and how to introduce the topic to people that, you know, monkeys that talk and fly and, you know, and all the names and the relationships that it's, you know, how to bring the flavor and the mystery of Ramayana. Of course, even if people don't know, it's still, there's a special potency to Ramayana, because it's the Ram's pastimes and compiled by Valmiki and so forth. But the latest meditation is at the very beginning. I haven't gotten to the how to bring about this beginning, but the beginning, open with, you know, the scene of the crunch of bird and Valmiki uttering this word, these words, and then being puzzled, how did this anger come about? And then the words, and then the meaning of the words, and the meter of the words, and then Brahma informing him. So within the poetry of Ramayana, from the very first message of Ramayana, it's poetic. You know, the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas have explained that first verse is the summary of the entire Ramayana. So without going into it right now because of time and circumstance, it's Ram losing Sita and the separation of Ram and Sita and the grief that comes from the separation of Ram and Sita. So it's metaphorical. It doesn't mean that Ramayana is metaphorical. It's actual it's history, but narrated in such a way that it's poetic, and with poetry, there are metaphors and similes and you know, all kinds of things that require refinement of a nice poet to understand what's the meaning, what's the deeper meaning, and the deeper meaning of the deeper meaning, and so forth. So there's the surface meaning that anyone can hear the story and just appreciate the story. Wow, it's a lovely story, very fascinating. Very, very fascinating story. Kind of like, you know, a children's story that may be fascinating, and there's some nice meaning behind the children's story. They don't really understand. They just know the story. But this is about the personality of Godhead, and it's meant to be sung. It's another nice thing. When after Valmiki composed Ramayana, he then began to contemplate how to propagate it. And then right at that time as he was contemplating, Love and Kush came before him, and that's it. So he trained them in music and meter and Sanskrit and this and that. And so they sang it and sang it and sang it and sang it and became proficient in singing it and singing it to the point where they sang it before Ram. During Ram's lifetime, he heard Love and Kush singing Ramayana. According to Valmiki Ramayana, he sat down in the assembly. He didn't sit on the throne. He sat down listening to Ramayana being recited by Love and Kush. And everyone was so absorbed in the Ramayana, they didn't even notice that he got off the throne. It's so absorbing. And he was absorbed like them. And then later they became the next king after Ram. So it's filled with charm, filled with lessons. Presenting it to a new audience, it would probably be a different challenge to present to an all Western audience. But, you know, this is in another language. You have to have a translator for everything. Anyway, wish me luck. It's a wonderful meditation. It's a wonderful meditation. And then trying to make it meaningful and relatable to audiences is another nice meditation. Okay, let's see if there's some discussion. We're not doing really good with the social distancing, but you have something? Okay.
Guru Maharaj, the last point that you mentioned, I had a question on different one, but when you mentioned the last point that even Lord Ram got attracted hearing his own story. Mm-hmm. So this clearly shows that when we glorify, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and we read and Krishna's stories, Krishna is attracted. Mm-hmm. So just thought about that. So I have two questions.
That happens in Brihat. No, it happens in Rupa Goswami's writing Vidanta Madhava. Uddhava, being very intimately associated with Krishna, understands Krishna's heart. And his heart, although he's physically in Dwarka, his heart is with the residents of Vrindavan. So he decides maybe it will work if we just have a drama on a stage where Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are performed on stage and Krishna's in the audience. So Krishna's in the audience watching the performance of the drama of Vrindavan on the stage and rises up and becomes in ecstasy and runs for the stage. It's not the same, but it's something like it. Go ahead.
The promise that Dasharatha gave to Kaikeyi was long back.
Long back.
I can see that the promise those days they have to maintain the vow, whatever they have given. Isn't that King Dasharatha could have communicated this, like, today, I'm thinking about today's world. I give you a promise and I'm not able to make it, keep it. So I just communicate and say, hey, I told you I can do this in 2 days, but I cannot. And, you know, we communicate. So isn't that allowed in those days? This communication and say that, you know, I told this, but I see Ram is more qualified. And even Bharata likes Ram. And to Kaikeyi? Is that?
I believe so. I mean, with the consent of the other party, I believe so. That the commitment can be excused. It's something like that happened when Arjuna took a vow to Draupadi, I'm going to bring the head of Ashwatthama. When you're performing oblations, you can stand on the head of Ashwatthama. So she relieved him of that pledge.
And the intention of Bharata was misunderstood.
Yeah.
And how he took it was a great, it's a wonderful character of Bharata. It happens, as you mentioned, Guru Maharaj, to all of us. Intentions, good intentions are misunderstood.
Yeah.
Because it has the potential to break relationships.
Yes.
So, what should one do to avoid or, you know, keep the relationship, maintain the relationship?
Okay. Those are two different questions. Good character. Because the mistrust was dissolved by his good character. Anything else? Yeah?
So, inside the beginning, you're saying that all the four brothers were born on the same date?
They were born on the same date, different mothers.
So, if they were born on the same date, then how is Ram the eldest brother?
How did Ram do what? He was born first. Kaushalya was his mother, and then there was another queen, and then there was another queen. So he was the first born from Kaushalya, and then the next brother, and then the next twins. Okay? Yeah, same day, different times. Oh, now I understand his question. Oh. Okay, anything else? Over here.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was just thinking about Bharat and Lakshman as a comparison in terms of the relationship with Ram. And with the narration and with the intensity of love towards Ram, I thought, like, you know, with hearing again and again about Bharat's love, it's very similar between Lakshman and Bharat.
And different.
So I was just wondering, like, was it unfair for Ram to, you know, have Lakshman by his side and send away Bharat, even though he was not going to rule anyway? Maybe he could have, like,
switched him around?
or had Lakshman on one
take
side
turns.
And Bharat on the other.
Well, you have to ask Ram. It didn't fit the script. I mean, before that scene happened, what we hear is about Lakshman is there was already that fastidious relationship. Ram wouldn't eat unless Lakshman was there and was eating at the same time, and etc. They were, you know, the object and the shadow of the object. They were inseparable. It was already like that. And it wasn't contrived. It was just the nature of their love for one another. It was a mutual love for one another. And Bharata, it seems, had, you know, the more quiet nature and, you know, kind of in the background. And then further in the background is Shatrughna, who is like really in the background of the background. And that's just his nature. Not that he's smaller, it's just his nature. And so service and separation was one of the hallmarks of Bharata, and therefore that was his service. I mean, you know, it fit his service. Service and separation. And bearing difficulty, bearing the burden of the maintenance of the kingdom when he didn't want to. I mean, so that was just his bhava or his thing. So he was given his thing to do in, within the lila. In the back, pass the microphone that away.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I am thinking about, I'm trying to understand the relationship between Lakshmana.
Can you hold the microphone by your mouth? It'll make it easier to hear you.
Okay. I'm thinking about the relationship between Lakshmana and Bharata. Because they are both devotees of Ram. They are very eager to serve Ram.
Yeah.
And this, their focus is Ram. But because of that, there is mistrust, right? Lakshmana is mistrusting Bharata. And how is, like, you know, there is mistrust among devotees like that, right? So how do you handle that? The focus is Ram, but still.
I got it. Mm-hmm. Well, good association helps. That's how you handle it. Because all it took was some words from Ram. And Lakshman cooled down. But if somebody that, you know, it's a devotee that doesn't have sadhu sangha, they can go off the deep end and, you know, stay there. So sadhu sangha is really the cure. If it can happen on that level, then, you know, what about our level? But, you know, where, when there's some mistrust, some misunderstanding or some interpretation of intention and motivations and so forth, it goes on, goes on. So, sadhu sangha. So then, we gotta have some more sadhus around. And sadhus that are accessible to give their sangha. And we ourselves have to be cultured enough. We just hear from sadhu, and that's it. That's it means, everything's, the fire is out. Not like a, you know, smoldering fire. It's fire's out. That's culture. That's culture. From both sides. The sadhu giving and the person receiving. And if that's not there, then it'll continue to be a flame, a blaze. Even amongst those that are devotees of the same Lord. Anything else? You have something? No? Okay. Anyone else? We're done. Okay. Online. Okay. Online. Up front.
This question is from Danum Jayalu. How can we maintain tolerance in provoking situations?
How can we maintain tolerance in provoking situations? If your consciousness has to be pure, and then you can do things like that. And if you don't have pure consciousness, you can't. So how to get pure consciousness? Follow sadhana bhakti nicely. And that's the path to get to pure consciousness.
Question from Sanchari. Is there a reason why such significance is given to Lakshmana when compared to the other brothers? We see how we see here how attached Bharata was to Rama, yet at the same time, yet at the same time, we usually think of the brothers as Rama and Lakshmana and Bharata and Shatrughna. Is there a deeper understanding behind how and why their relationships developed in this way? Or was it just the Lord's sweet will?
Well, it's not exactly any one of those or not any one of those. They have a relationship with one another, and Lakshman's relationship was what it was, and Bharata's relationship was what it was. They have their moods, just like us. And, just like Sanchara, you have your mood, and you're not the same as your mother, and you and your mother are not the same as your sister, and you're individuals, and you are who you are. And, you know, we accept you for who you are. We accept Lakshman having the kind of attachment for Ram that he had. And Bharata was more, you know, I'll serve from a distance in a humble way. And it doesn't mean he wasn't attached. He just had a different mood of his love and his relationship. So we just allow for differences. It's just different persons have different natures. And, you know, we appreciate that.
This question is from Sri Vallabha Prabhu. Your description of Bharata's love for Rama is moving, indeed. Is there a description of how Sri Ram received the news of his father's demise?
Yeah. It happened at Chitrakoot, and he broke down. And then he composed himself. And he wanted to go immediately to the river and offer oblations, as is the custom, lamenting that he was not there as the elder brother to perform the funeral for his father. He didn't take, I don't recall any mention of his berating himself, saying, because I went to the forest, my father was unable to maintain his life in my absence. Although, you know, that is in one sense that which precipitated his demise. No mention of that. But sorrow, grief, and religious performance, and lamenting that he did not have the capacity to perform his final rites, which, when it came to Jatayu, he was saying just the opposite. I was unable to perform my rites for my father, but I'm able to perform my rites, the rites for Jatayu, who was very dear to my father.
This is a comment from Amara Mataji. We come across big and small allegations many times in life. This pastime of Bharat Maharaj is always... Bharat Maharaj always gives so much light. He is grieving for his father's departure and going through separation of his beloved brothers, being scorned by multiple persons for an act that he didn't even have an idea of what to speak of doing it. Yet this is very enlightening that he was taking shelter of Lord Ram in such a miserable condition and not trying to prove that he is not the wrongdoer. Thank you.
He spoke the truth, but he didn't get into a defensive and whining mood. He was hurt that he was mistrusted so deeply and again, but he had a mission, and that was what was carrying him forward. It's one of the keys to dealing with negative emotions. Something that's essential, if not at least helpful, is you have a mission it's worthy of you, and you're continuing moving forward to fulfill that mission that's worthy of you. And that helps enormously.
This question is from a 4-year-old Nandanandan, I think, son of Reshma. He wants to ask what surrender means.
When your mother says clean your room, you go clean your room. When your mother says brush your teeth, you brush your teeth. Surrender means, we've been discussing this, but surrender means not just what your body does, but it's, you know, surrender means with your heart, you give your heart. Now, we're going to be discussing Ram's explanation of what surrender means in the very first class, which is going to be in on the 30th of September evening, which is October 1st morning in China. But when Vibhishan comes to take shelter of Ram, Ram gives this like super amazing explanation. Surrender is given such liberal terms. Just even once saying help, he says, even if it was Ravana who came and said, I'm not returning Sita, but I want your shelter, I would give him shelter. And even if Vibhishan is not Vibhishan, but it's actually Ravan in disguise, but because he's coming, I would give him shelter. So so that's a very liberal, so to our 4-year-old, what does surrender mean? Taking to heart some wisdom that's coming to you from a wise person and incorporating that wisdom in your life. That's surrender. Right behind you, there's one question. And then we'll come back to more online.
My question is, why did Ram intend to cause Bharata a hurtness for when he was criticized? Was there any real, like, humility, or was there a different motive?
Well, it was something like what Bharadraj said, which is, I wanted to show the world how much love you have for Ram. So similarly, when Vamana treated Bali Maharaj the way Vamana treated Bali Maharaj, even after he surrendered everything and he rejected Shukracharya's instruction to not surrender to Vishnu, he still treated him like a criminal, bound him by rope, and everyone's going, whoa, wait a minute. You know, yada, yada, yada. What's going on here? And then Vamana spoke, I wanted to show the world, just see how exalted he is. Not a word of protest, not any indication at all of anything other than full surrender. I wanted to show the world how great he is. So Bharata is demonstrating to us, so Ram wanted Bharata to demonstrate to us, just stay fixed in the mood of loving service to the personality of Godhead. Even when there's misunderstanding and mistrust and misreading of intentions and all that stuff, stay fixed. It's a model. So Ram may have, one of the reasons may have been to have Bharata show to us what's the ideal picture of responding to false allegations. and stay fixed. Okay, you ready for more online?
In Krishna consciousness, I want to do things wholeheartedly, not because of someone doing it, I want to do it. How do I understand I am doing this voluntarily, not because of some external pressure?
Introspect. And it's with a starting point that there's probably a mix of something that's voluntary and something that's, you know, pressure from others. And by introspection, try to move towards it's more voluntary. And one of the ways to help also evaluate if it's voluntary is look how is it sustaining? Because if it's pressure from others, then it's probably not going to sustain for too long. It'll be intermittent. Okay. Last call. Okay.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. The four-year-old question gave me the inspiration to ask this. Like, hearing this Ramakatha is so nice. And tell us, Maharaj, how to surrender to Sri Ram, actually. What do we need to say to surrender to him?
I like what Bhaktivinoda Thakura says about this. One, two, there's a sequence. Harikatha cleanses and nourishes faith. And with faith comes surrender. Then he says they're quite similar. They're not exactly identical, but they're quite similar. Faith catalyzes, he doesn't use that word, it brings about surrender. And as faith increases through hearing of Harikatha, surrender increases. So hear lots of Harikatha from your heart. And then you'll find surrendering becomes more easy, more natural, more sweet.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
And promote the hearing of Harikatha, and then you're going to hear more Harikatha just by promoting Harikatha. Back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaji. So little bit whatever I have heard from my grandmoms or in the family. So when Dashrath ji was planning to make Ram as the Raja and to enthrone him, so like these demigods and everybody were getting scared. So that what will happen, how we will save the sadhus and how we will, the demons and everybody, what will happen, they will ruin everything on the earth. So they don't want to Rama to become the king. What I have
Who doesn't want Ram?
Demigods.
Why?
I'm not, because they wanted like the all the demons and everything. They want that Rama should kill them and then he should become. Is it? Yes, if he will go, yeah, so if he will go to the forest, so he will like kill all the demons and everything. So
he can kill demons if he's king or not king.
I don't like. Yes,
I don't know
he can.
What Ramayan your grandmother was reciting from.
Right. Yeah. So that. Yeah. So yeah. So my question is like, Maharaj, because Rama is the supreme personality of Godhead, and everything he was knowing, like it was all the plan, and everything was planned according to his will.
Yeah.
So whenever we hear about Ramayana, like when it comes to Kaikeyi or mantra, like you know. a negative emotion comes, but though they were so elevated, they were in the past times, like they were the, Kaikeyi was the mother of Ramji, and like even Mantra was also serving Kaikeyi. So how should we look those characters?
How should you view Kaikeyi and Mantra specifically? That's what you want to know?
Yes.
They were instruments of Ram's will. That's how you should view them. That's what... instruments of Ram's will. Something that I appreciated, I've said it multiple times, I don't mind saying it many more times. It came out a little bit here with Bharata became a game changer or a dynamic changer when he left. Now he wasn't in Kaikeyi. So, Yadrichchaya. You've heard that term before? Yadrichchaya is used in Sanskrit to mean inexplicable. It's translated as somehow or other. We're used to things that have cause, and then there's the effect. So this is the effect of that cause. But something that just doesn't seem to have a cause is identified as Yadrichchaya. And the commentators say, Valmiki used this term twice in the whole of Ramayana, and one is when he introduced what Kaikeyi did, somehow or other. And then the somehow or other is this Ram within the heart of Kaikeyi inspired her to do what she did. She became an instrument of Ram's will. For the purpose that was just mentioned by your grandmother. Not the demigods. But Ram wanted to go to the forest, not to kill the demons, but to give his association to the sadhus that were dear devotees, and they just wanted to see the Lord, so he went to see them. And then the other Yadrichchaya was Shurpanakha. Somehow or other, Yadrichchaya, she went to Panchavati and did what she did, so that Ram could then kill the demons. But it was Ram, there is no harm in saying the demigods and Ram was reciprocating with the desire of the demigods. But specifically, your question is how to view Kaikeyi and Mantra.
Yes.
Mantra had a role to play in what Kaikeyi did, and what Kaikeyi did was inspired by Ram.
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anyone else? Or we're done. You're mulling over something.
I was really very much taken over by the point that you said that kept ringing all through the class, like how you said because of the love that Bharata carried for Ram, and Ram is the emblem of all virtues, he was maintaining his character by that.
Yes.
So I was
very important.
Yeah, I was thinking about how, like, in Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction, he says like how associating, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas.
Yes.
So I was like thinking how vital it is to have that sadhu sangha in somebody to look upon on a regular basis.
I let me share this with you and with all of you. Growing up in America, I didn't know anything about Vedic culture or anything. And it wasn't until much later, after living as a devotee for some years, I began to be curious about Ramayana and read bits and pieces, because there wasn't really a Krishna Dharma Ramayana to read. But I found it very inspiring to lead a virtuous life, because that was the impact on my heart. It was a life of virtue. How inspiring. in real practical terms. Real practical terms. So, it, like your grandmother giving details, or anyone giving details, because we were at another home where, you know, her grandmother was also telling her stories, and I said, so you should tell your granddaughter some stories. Because just that hearing has, it builds culture, builds a culture of virtue. And then if there's somebody that is a person you can go to, not just a character in a story, because that has its potency too, that's Shabda. But then there's a person that's the walking Shabda, and they're living it and speaking it. How valuable. And so, you know, back to this discussion that we had, what your question the other, last time we were, you may think, rightly so, I'm very small and I'm doing very little. So nonetheless, we can become the good association for people that really don't have any association. And that brings empowerment to each one of us by trying to be that person. We don't, you know, place ourselves in some artificial, or let other people place us in some artificial pedestal thing. We take sadhu sangha, we try to give whatever we can to others. And that's Vedic, that's culture, spreading the culture of Krishna consciousness through sound and then good conduct. And Ramayana is meant, especially, if that's my sense, good character, good conduct, virtue. How much that's needed in society today, gosh. And why is it so crazy? Because that culture is lost. People are after technology and other things. For advancement of civilization, and they're losing civilization, unfortunately. Doesn't mean don't learn math and science. It just means don't lose culture. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai.